council meeting of August, Tuesday, August the 27th to order. I welcome everybody to our Regent McQueen's Municipality Council meeting. Just remind everybody about electronics. Can you please make sure that your phones are on silent during the meeting? I have regrets from Mayor Dagley. As you can see, I'm not Mayor Dagley. Deputy Mayor Heather Kelly, and I'll be chairing the meeting today. We also have Councilor Muse will be somewhat late due to a traffic incident, not to him, but just on the road between his home and here. And reminding everybody that we run a very respectful meeting here. I trust everyone will adhere to our rules of council today. So we have changes and approval to the agenda to start with. Are there any changes or any changes to the agenda or additions today? No? Seeing none, can we have a motion to approve the agenda as circulated? Oh, sorry, Brian, approve that. Can we have a second? Thank you, Raymond. All in favor, I guess, yeah. All in favor? Thank you. Raymond, are you in favor?
Yes, oh, I'm sorry.
Presentations. There are no presentations today, so we'll move on from there. Tabling of petitions. I have no petitions tabled. Are there any petitions to be coming forward from anyone today? Calling for petitions. No petitions today. Public question and comment section. So you have 5 minutes for anyone in the gallery that has anything to say today. And just state your name and your address. And Liam's already taken the floor.
Just wait. Thank you, Mayor. Yes, again, Robert Simple, County Liverpool. Just asking, perhaps the smell that we've had lingering all summer seems to have improved in the last while. I know they've done some work. Is there any further update on that? Any quick update as to...
Other than the work has been completed, to my understanding?
10.1.
We will get an update from our engineering works director.
Well, I saw that on the infrastructure, and I didn't realize that would be included. It would be included then, but...
Here's
here. Thank you.
One infrastructure
other
sewer plant, yes.
One
okay.
Rezoning of the what was known as the Lions Hall. It's good to see that that is going to be used and put to use, and it will bring also another business in town. And I would certainly recommend that the council give it serious consideration to approve. Thank you.
Yes, good. Thank you, Leon. Anyone else from the gallery would like to speak today? Bill?
Bill Cox, 121 Dog Road, Fort Point. Yes, Deputy Mayor, I was surprised to learn in the minutes from the last council meeting that the motion in regard to the Liverpool waterfront had passed without comment and unanimously. I have a number of concerns about the proposal for that, and I don't think I can cover it in 5 minutes, but I'll just highlight some of the things that are considered most pressing. For more than 2 years as a member of the Planning Advisory Committee and as a member of council, I fought strenuously to keep the zoning on that particular section of town as recreation open space. I now find that there are several proposals that are coming forward that may alter that usage, and in particular thoughts of erecting a structure in the park area, which could be used for various events as well as a farmer's market. That is not a recreational purpose, and it should not be considered in that location. Every time I attend an event in that location, people from outside express the envy that they have that we have such a beautiful open space and park that can be used for various purposes and not obstructed by buildings and structures, etc. Also the thoughts of moving the food trucks back to the area adjacent to the bridge and the Tourist Information Bureau. That is an area that has been used in the past for parking for overflow from the Visitor Information Center and also people who wish to utilize that wharf area. And if we put food trucks in there, then we're moving more vehicles across the street and creating pedestrian problems for people having to cross the street to access those food trucks. The present location on the old Legion property, I think, is a much more favorable location for food trucks. Also, designing of the parking area. This is a item that has created a lot of discussion, and the biggest complaint there is that in the wintertime when we have snow removal, if we redesign that and put in curbing, flowers, trees, etc., in an effort to try and beautify that area, it means that we are going to lose more parking spaces in the wintertime when the region is unable to complete their parking lot of snow. I think that, or I hope that, there will be further public consultation before this plan is completely adopted, and that people will have a chance to address these various proposals. I was not aware that there were public meetings, as I don't access the region's website other than to get the council agenda, and as such I was not aware of any public meetings until it appeared on the agenda of the council. I would ask the council kindly reconsider these items in light of the fact that while council has the prerogative to change the zoning of that particular area, I don't agree with changing and destroying the crown jewel. If this was a diamond and somebody attempted to cut that up, there would be a loud public outcry. This is a diamond as far as I'm concerned, and it bothers me that we have no discussion in regard to making a decision regarding that particular area. And if I may, I have one other item that I would like to approach to Deputy Mayor, and that's in regard to the present location of the vegetable vendor. On Friday and Saturday nights, there's cars parking underneath that structure, and there's a lot of marijuana and other very pungent items that are being smoked there while the occupants of the vehicles are enjoying the music coming from the bowling alley property. Patrons coming from the Legion and coming out the door are met by that pungent smell, and some people have even thrown up as a result of that. And we are asking that the RCMP be asked to patrol that, as I'm sure that upon approaching that area, they would be able to pick up the odor and know that something illegal is taking place. It's my understanding on Legion property, the smoking is not permitted. And as such, that would be a violation of the bylaw, if not of the criminal code, for marijuana in a public place. Thank you, Dr. Mayor, that's my comments this morning.
Thank you, Bill. It's a shame you didn't hear about the public consultations. There were quite a few of them going on in the community at the time. There was advertisements on the radio about the consultation times as well as the last council meeting or the one before that. It was on the agenda as well when the consultant was here to advise about and then our own director of economic development did an update last council meeting as well about the waterfront redevelopment. I think that at this present time, we're just looking at costs for everything. It's just an overview of what we'd like to do and how to flow foot traffic and vehicle traffic through that area. The Privateer Park is still going to be completely open. That's a big, wide, open space. Centennial Park will be more conducive to children's play, so there are a few more things there for children to do. As far as the parking lot's concerned, we have to do something, and I'm sure that there'll be lots of consultations in conjunction with engineering as well to make sure that it is an area that can be cleared of snow and whatever else with ease, and that should all be part of the flood mitigation studies that we're waiting to hear back on as well. The food trucks are not part of this discussion at all. There's nothing to say where food trucks will go if a structure is put on the old Legion property. So that's not even part of the discussion at this time. That would be a later date, so I'm sure you'd be able to have comments at another time on that. As far as the cannabis is concerned, yes, you should contact the RCMP if you feel that there's something illegal going on. I think it would be very difficult for us for the region to try to stop cars from parking underneath that structure. But as far as the Region of Queens policy goes, our no smoking policy is for within our buildings, not on our open property. The same way somebody can smoke in Privateer Park, they can also smoke cannabis in Privateer Park or in our parks, in our open areas, and that's not illegal, to my knowledge. And I don't know if the CA wants to add anything to that.
Correct.
Any other questions from the gallery? Any comments? No? Okay. So next on the agenda then, 6.0, approval of meeting. 6.1, approval of minutes. Regular council, August 13th. Can I have a motion to approve as circulated? Raymond, thank you. Second. Susan, thank you. And all those in favor? Thank you. 7.0, dangerous or unsightly premises. There's 7.1, 11 Markland Avenue, Brooklyn. And Kellyanne Hurley, our bylaw enforcement officer, will tell us about that.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Eleven Markland Avenue, Brooklyn, Queens County, Nova Scotia, PID number 7008-6855. Assessed owners Justin Grant and Shannon Himmelman. 11 Markland Avenue in Brooklyn, Queens County is a residential property. This property has been vacant for some time and is in dire need of seasonal maintenance. This property hosts a two-story dwelling that appears to be structurally sound and in very good condition. A recommendation is put forth today in hopes of an approval for ongoing seasonal lawn maintenance and the general cleanup of miscellaneous items strewn about the property.
So is there any discussion, comments? Can someone make the motion, please?
I move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality declare the property
located at 11 Markland Avenue, Brooklyn, Nova Scotia, and identified as PID number 7008685, as dangerous and unsightly as defined in the Municipal Government Act of Nova Scotia, and that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality cause an order to be served upon the owners of the property located at 11 Markland Avenue, Brooklyn, Queens County, Nova Scotia, requiring that, within 7 days of the date of the service of the order, the following work be carried out: grass to be mowed or cut, and small cleanup of garbage and miscellaneous items strewn about the backyard. And that if owners fail to comply with the order, the administrator may cause the requirements of the order to be carried out, and all expenses incurred by the Region of Queens Municipality become the responsibility of the owner.
Can I have a second for that, please? Councilor Trelawny. Any comments, questions? Please, Councilor McLeod.
Okay. Kellyanne, it's a very minor thing that anyone can clean it up, so I think maybe just this is appropriate for that property, and it shouldn't take much to have someone on the owner's behalf do it, or if we have to, clean it up ourselves.
Yes, that's the recommendation for 7 days. It's been like this all summer.
Yeah.
And
have you had complaints from the community?
I have, several.
Ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor?
Thank you.
Thank you. Eight point O, economic development. There's nothing to on the agenda. 9.0, corporate services. 9.1, Royal Canadian Legion Mersey Branch. 38 flyover request. Are we having, shall we do this one? Oh, okay.
So there's no motion. Motion's not required, but as council may remember, back in the spring, there was a request for a similar request for a flyover in Caledonia for an event that was being helped, coordinated by the school in North Queen. And so now we have a similar request from the Legion branch in Liverpool requesting just support of the council to. For a letter of support for a flyover in Liverpool during the November State Ceremony, just prior to between 10:40 around 10:45. And so today we're just looking for consensus from council to authorize the deputy mayor to send that letter. As I mentioned, no formal motion required, just with general consensus.
Any comments or questions from councilors? Are we all, can I have a consensus? Are we all in agreement that we'll send a letter approving your request? Yes. Okay, thank you. We'll send the letter then. Now we have 10.1, engineering works infrastructure update.
Ready?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to go through a quick list of highlights that we've completed this year and work we have yet to do. It's not a complete or exhaustive list, just the highlights of some tasks, some projects, and then we'll finish off with the sewer treatment plant. Leave that for the end. Okay. So first off, the North Queens Volleyball Court, the new base that was installed 2 weeks ago. Cobbs Park Playground, the equipment repairs refinishing, was completed this spring. Queens Place exterior paint and woodwork, that was refinished where needed earlier this year. VIC maintenance of that building, that's complete for the year, for the most part. Exterior, the deck, ceiling fans done. Farmers Market, we did some ongoing regular structural repairs there, the posts and the anchors this year. Port Medway Park, that maintenance is largely done for the year. The overhead doors have been replaced and the roof repaired. The Old Town Hall building, the exterior repairs are ongoing. I'd say we're about two-thirds complete, probably about another month ago. Sewage pump houses, the building repairs are done for this year. Most notably, I guess be most visible would be the main one at Hank Snow. That building, we did a complete exterior refinish that structure earlier this year. Street signage, large number of signs were purchased this year to replace faded or damaged signs. We've got more to buy next year. We only had so much money. Those purchases, for the most part, are already installed. The overhead sign at the three-way stop, that was rebuilt, refinished, and the order corrected, and is now installed. Paving and asphalt repairs, that's ongoing. I'd say we're about two-thirds complete for this year's paving, based on the allocation we have, and that will be completed shortly. Curb gutter and sidewalk repairs, that's ongoing. I'd say we're about half done on that. The splay painting is largely done, but there are a few areas that remain to be done. The specialized paint, that was on back order from our supplier, and I understand that will be arriving soon, so we'll get back at that. Regular streets, sewer and water maintenance, that of course is ongoing throughout the year as needed. Caledonia Sewer System, the installation and commissioning of the SCADA controls and the monitoring equipment, the manufacturing of that is near complete. We'll take receipt of that shortly, and from there the coordination between the trade supplier and Nova Scotia Power, that we'll see installation of that in late September. Trussell Trail Bridge, of course I can't give a first-hand reporting of that. Wasn't directly involved in the installation or the inspections. I was involved in the design of the repairs, but when it came time for the contractor hit the ground, I wasn't. So I can't speak to what degree of inspections have or haven't occurred, but it appears that the concrete jacket over Pier Number 1 and the south abutment is complete. And the limited amount of repairs they did on the superstructure, the steel and the decking, it looks like that's complete. It looks like the contractors have moved out. I really don't know if they have or they haven't, but it looks like they have. Brooklyn Sewer and Water. This year's construction from the park to the marina, that was completed earlier this year. That job went along very well. We weren't too long getting that done. Waterloo Sewer and Water Project, that's ongoing course this year, this year's phase. Just to remind people what we're doing there, it's within Bartlett Avenue, William Street, and James Street. Consistent replacement of the gravity sanitary sewer, the force main pressure sewer, sanitary pump station and controls, storm sewer main leads, catch basin, sanitary and storm water laterals, concrete curb, concrete gutter, and sidewalk, and of course the street surface rebuild and repaving. Project is progressing nicely. We're on schedule, within budget, and from a time point of view, we are where we expect to be at this time of the year. Currently, the gravity sewer, the pressure sewer, storm sewer water main and laterals is installed within the entire length of William Street. So that's both blocks of William Street and James Street. And we're on Bartlett now. The lower portion of William Street and all of James Street is now live with distribution out of the new water main and collection of sewer now out of the new sewer main. The sanitary sewer pumping station wet well, valve chamber and control structure is installed along with the new storm sewer outfall. But the pumps, the valves, controls, of course, are not installed yet. We wouldn't do that towards the end of the job. Concrete curb gutter and sidewalk is installed along James Street and is now progressing on lower William Street. Future work for this year over the winter primarily relates to the water utility, and that is a 16-inch water transmission bypass line. That's a sequential installation over a period of 8 to 10 years for a new water supply line. And that replaces a 120-year-old and 90-year-old supply line. The first phase starts at the water treatment plant, and of course will begin over winter. We have to install it all over that course of time before we get to use it, of course, right? So the lines won't be charged with water or used until that's done. And we just keep picking away at it, and we'll get it done. Additionally, this winter, it's something we haven't talked about, but we'll need to do that, and I'll come forward with it later, of course. But we'll need to desludge the sedimentation ponds that accumulate dirt and matter that's filtered from the water from within the water treatment process off the DAF filters. That is sent, after it goes through the filters, it's sent to two existing ponds that were built and operated since April 1st, 2008. That's when our water treatment plant was built and first put online. The ponds are just shallow, they're probably only 6 feet deep or so, and earth lined. They're not a complicated pond structure like a sewer treatment plant, and they are near full with sediment. When we constructed the water treatment plant, the drying beds were excavated just on the upland side, so they're basically all constructed. We have sand stockpiled there to put on it when we need it. We didn't install it within the sand beds at the time because we didn't want it to grow up with weeds and that type of thing. So it's just a matter of placing it and then basically excavating out of the ponds and placing it on top of the sand beds and letting it go over a few winters. There's no odor issues up there. It's not the same type of material, of course, as sewer treatment plant. Of course, we have a reserve, if you recall, within our water utility budget each and every year that we contribute. So there is money that we'll have to do that. And we'll do that ourselves because that's mostly a civil project. It's not like pumping it into bio bags, filter bags, or anything like that. And lastly, we'll talk about the sewer treatment plant, where we're at. Talked 2 weeks ago, and since that time, the desludging of primary cell number one is complete. Following the completion by the contractor on Thursday, August the 8th, there was residual odor, and that was present for about a week. However, the last 4 or 5 days, that odor has dropped off quite a bit, and really, there's very little odor present there now. Some odor, of course, because there is always odor at a sewer treatment plant, but not anything undue. Now, following the desludging process, a large part of the problem that led to that odor hanging on for another week after the material was removed fundamentally comes down to the dry weather, because with dry weather there's no inflow. All right, the sludge was removed, course, but the water within the pond itself, as you can imagine, is still very dirty and agitated from the pumping process. The water was disturbed, mixed with a lot of fine particulate matter in suspension, makes the water dark, dirty. So really what's needed is water inflow to process this water and to carry it along the process chain for full treatment. And of course, problem is very little water inflow in this dry period of the year. With no water, there's no rain, there's no stormwater contribution, there's no water flowing in to replace the volume of water that the sludge and the sludge water occupied, which has now been removed, and the amount of water that gets evaporated off is not being, or barely being replaced with inflow. In inflow, I mean sewage water, I say inflow. Now, to counteract this, in as much as possible, what we've been doing is we've been adding or aiding the water gain into cell number one, the primary cell, by pumping with a 6-inch pump clean water or cleaner water from our final cell number three and into the primary cell. Now, all those cells, they equalize water, so you know it takes time. It'll eventually chase its way around and you know dilute it. So cell number one has gained a lot of water, and it has a positive impact. Additionally, what we've done over the last week vacuuming the fats and oils that is now coming out of suspension within the column of water accumulated on the surface in a few corners. We take this off the surface and that gets pumped into the desludging bags. That probably will be an ongoing process over the next couple weeks. But it's not an undue process, but it's something we just got to keep clean. And as it comes out of suspension, accumulates on the surface, take it off, put it in the bags, take it off, put it in the bags. Now, while this is working, you know, the cell is recovering. It did take about a week or so for it to calm down a little bit. But you can tell if you look at it every day, you know, the water's getting a little bit cleaner. The odor is less and less all the time. It's getting knocked down. So we did, and we are doing everything we can. But of course, what would be most helpful is an extended period of wet weather, or even some wet weather, which we might get later this week. So that's my rundown. Any questions?
Any questions, comments?
Thank you, Brad. The Brooklyn sewer and water done very well. Everyone's pleased with
yep.
the service.
Thank you.
The men were excellent for the community. Just wanted to pass that on to
yep,
you.
Yeah, I'll pass that along yep. to them. Thank you.
Now, the next phase from
yep.
the Brooklyn Marina to the breakwater, is that in the plans for the next?
Well, what we
budget?
Hope to, I mean, council will deliberate on that, the upcoming budget. That's about 700 feet or so, right in around there. That'll take us, you know, basically to the corner where
yeah.
the government wharf is.
That seems to be the most vulnerable area for
is,
the
yeah.
residents who have been having difficulty with their sewer
yeah.
systems. So
you know, that's
imperative that.
It's
that
been a very long-term project,
yeah.
and our
it's
focus.
It's a long way to get to that. Point.
Our focus was to get there, right? And we're almost there.
Right.
We have been there, but
yeah.
that's.
It's
yeah.
coming to an end, and
yeah.
that's really great. Appreciate that. Thank you for your update on the odor. Is there anything that we have learned from this process?
Well, as I said last week, one takeaway, at the very least, one takeaway is to probably desludge, particularly the primary cell, more often less, or more often rather than less often, because the sludge has to be removed sooner or later, so it really doesn't matter when, outside of odor consideration. So the only risk doing it more often, let's say doing it every 8 years rather than every 16 years, I just threw that number out, like, is mobilization cost. A few days labor, you know, over the course of many years, so really that's marginal in the large scheme of things. So I guess that would be a lesson learned. Is probably desludge that a little quicker. See, what changed is halfway through the life since we opened it was the addition of the septic facility. And that accumulated a lot of sludge matter because it comes out of people's septic tanks, right? So that shortened the life of cell number one. Not the life, but the amount of time that you would normally otherwise desludge.
I just wanted to echo what Councilor McLeod said about the James Street project. I've been talking to a fair number of people, and I sent you off an email
yes.
and congratulated everybody
yep.
because we have had no complaints that I know of. Everybody is very impressed with the communication and the workers and are just generally pleased. So please pass that on.
Yeah,
well,
that's great to hear.
I know we've learned a lot from the past, and it's working, and we really appreciate that.
Thank you.
So, can you elaborate a little bit on the water treatment plant over the
yep.
winter? Where's that construction? You said you were replacing 100-year-old pipes.
Yeah, that there. There's currently what we have is an 1899 and a 1929 line that runs from the water treatment plant. It runs down Lake Road. It crosses across underneath the 103, which is a big risk because
okay.
we've ever broken underneath the 103, right? And then it goes across Town Lake area and across people's backyards, maybe under a foundation or two, right? And until it eventually picks up on Main Street. Very risky,
yep.
and it's very old. Really risky under the 103, right? As it crosses underneath that. So, you know, we have to start something. So what that is you pick up a similar sized hydraulic volume, 16 inch, you start from the water treatment plant and come all the way down Lake Road until it intersects just beneath the bridge on the west side of Milton, right? You head towards town and it probably would pick up in and about Wolf Street in and around there, because one line comes down Wolf Street and one comes a little bit further than that. So it'll probably take us about 7 years, you know, given short increments of money, like $130,000, $150,000 a year, right? You know, because water utility can only afford so much at a time, is to just incrementally advance that along Lake Road, and in another 7 or 8 years, we'll be to the asphalt. From that point forward, the cost will be a little greater, because now we're working in a live right away, you know. So overall, that's why I said 8 to 10 years, you know, we'll have that connected and be able to eliminate that section that goes underneath the 103.
So what happens this winter? Will that affect anybody?
No, because it won't be connected. You know, basically,
there's not going to be construction that's going to...
No, it'll be up at the water treatment plant.
Right.
Yeah, because you start at the high side, right, up there. Yeah.
Another question just about the Lower Waterloo again. And I know we talked about this before, but just remind me what the next phase is next year and then the third year.
Yeah, well, I've got to work that out a little bit, but the next phase or the next work that we would do, given council's approval and funding, of course, is starting down at the bottom end of Waterloo at the cul-de-sac to install the wet wells and bring in our pressure sewer, storm sewer, sanitary sewer laterals, at least up to James, and if the money's there, maybe up to Bartlett. Like, that would be one phase, roughly.
Right.
And then a larger phase where there isn't a whole lot of alternative to reroute traffic is, of course, from Bartlett to the four-way stop.
Yeah.
That's going to be a slow phase because it's going to involve a lot of street construction, and there's nowhere else to detour the traffic. Right. So that's going to be hairy, that one.
Okay. Yeah. That's great. People have been asking me, and I just want to make sure.
Yeah.
That
thank you.
Any other questions or comments from councilors? I have one question.
Yep.
When will everybody be connected? Well, it's not after each phase, it's till the whole thing is finished before the whole system will be connected and it's not pumping into the water anymore, right?
Well, people, we connect the homes to their new laterals.
Yes.
As we construct it. For instance, Williams now pretty much is all connected. However, their sanitary sewer still outfalls.
Right.
At the end of this year's phase, it will be pumped back onto Waterloo and then will flow by gravity down to where the wet well is, or will be at the end of the cul-de-sac, but it'll still go out to the harbor.
Okay.
So until we finish the phase up at the four-way stop, that we won't pump anything, because that all has to be pumped uphill. Until we actually lay the pipe, you can't pump it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that's great, thank you. There's no more questions.
But the water will be live, right? I mean, as we keep going ahead, right? Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
There's no more questions. Next we have nothing for finance, nothing under recreation and community facilities. Plant. Hmm? Oh, we do have fine. Oh, sorry, I'm looking at an old sheet. I'm sorry, Jennifer. I realize that now. Sorry, that was an update, wasn't it? That's an addition. So we have a report from the August 21st, 2019 tax sale.
And there's a copy of the advertisement on your desk this morning, and we did post it on our website as well, showing the multiple properties that did sell. It was a very successful tax sale.
That's good.
We had over 67 people in attendance, 43 bid cards in play, and it went from 10 o'clock to 1 o'clock. It was a marathon tax sale, as far as that goes. So we collected nearly $80,000 in minimum bids from the sale itself, but it was actually $103,000, decreasing our uncollected tax amount prior to the sale. Some 60-day notice is going out because we did have some properties that paid in full and were removed from the tax sale prior to. So we've got a very extensive follow-up on our default payment arrangements process in place now, with the addition of the accounts receivable clerk having that ability to assist in that regard. We're being very consistent in our default penalties. So if you do default, it's very clear in your payment arrangement that you will be placed on the next tax sale. And we did have someone who had made a substantial payment arrangement with us prior to the March tax sale and were removed from that sale, but then did not follow through with the payment arrangement. And so then they were on this August tax sale as well. So given the leverage that we have for our tax sale, property tax delinquency, we're afforded the ability, of course, to hold these tax sales and these tax sale auctions. So it's not likely that we would pursue a collection agency or collection agency procedures regarding that. But we are considering, and we've been looking at the possibility of collection agency usage in their services for our other receivables. So for our landfill receivables, or perhaps even Hillsview Acres, once the resident's no longer there and there's an outstanding bill as well. There was a collection agency that had been contacting me on a regular basis for some time, and their proposal has changed somewhat over the years in that there's no fee to the Region of Queens unless they actually collect on amount. So it's not an upfront pay for the services. So that's something we've been investigating, and we will look further into that. We've also been, there's a number of people who would like to use a credit card for the payment of property taxes. And again, we've always steered away from that because of the fees associated with a credit card payment. But Mallory is looking into the possibility that that service charge that's associated with those credit card payments is fully paid by the cardholder themselves. So if it's something that turns out to be completely cost neutral for the Region of Queens, because we don't want those taxpayers who are paying their bills and who are paying in a timely fashion to have any additional expenses or any additional costs that would be tax rated. But if there's a possibility that those who do want to use that service would be able to just pay that service fee, that's something we're going to look into as well. So we're researching that. And Valerie's got some great information. So the tax sale was very successful. We had 29 properties on that tax sale, and our tax clerk put in a considerable amount of time and effort, and commend her substantially for the amount of work and the amount of time that took to do that. So I would say that this tax sale was probably the largest that we would do. I can't see us doing any more properties in one particular sale than we had done in this time, because it did take a lot of time and effort. And Mallory and Penny worked a lot of hours and spent a lot of time preparing this tax sale. And again, it turned out to be well worth the while because it was extremely successful.
Thank you, Jennifer and Mallory. Any questions or counselors? Questions or comments from counselors?
Thank you very much. Thanks for the great work you've been doing, because, I mean, that's money there that's just running dormant. Now it goes back on our records, and it also shows the public that, you know, we're on top of the collectibles and we're on top of everything. So this new plan to possibly incorporate the credit cards, excellent. I mean, and if we can pass on the cost to the client, then that even is a much better.
Yeah, I didn't entertain it before because it wasn't cost neutral for us, but if that is an option, and the information that Mallory has found has proven successful in many other municipalities because of that, and just for that reason. So yeah, we're definitely pursuing that.
Research pays off, doesn't it, Mallory?
So Street, 186 Church Street in Liverpool. Mike, will you give us a report on that? Thank you.
Yeah.
Recommendation with?
Yes, we want to have a written. Sure. Do you need that? Sure.
I move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality give notice of the intention to amend the municipal planning strategy and the land use bylaw to change zoning of PID number 7002-4245 from institutional L1 to downtown commercial C1, and that the public hearing be held on September 24, 2019 in the Council Chambers at the Municipal Building, 249 White Point Road in Liverpool, North Carolina, 9 a.m.
Just a correction there, the institutional is I1.
I1.
Yes, just a little bit of background. We've received an application from the owners of property located on the corner of Gorham Street and Church Street in Liverpool. Most of you know that as the Lions Hall. To have that property rezoned from the institutional I-1 to the downtown commercial C-1. The Lions Club is currently in the process of trying to sell the property, and they have a prospective buyer who is looking at potentially putting in a flower shop and an indoor botanical garden at that location. The proposed use for the property does not conform with the institutional I-1 list of permitted uses, so in order to facilitate the request, a rezoning to the downtown commercial C-1 would be necessary. So I guess just for a little bit of history on the property, the current building was constructed back in the early 70s. It was a specific built building that the Lions Club had constructed for the use of the Girl Guides, as well as a number of other organizations in the community as well. Lions Club find themselves in need of divesting of that property. So I guess with the area, it's, although not located within the C1 zone, it is located on the peripheries of the commercial downtown zone. We're currently in the process, as you're aware, of reviewing our municipal planning strategy and land use bylaw, and as part of that process, we evaluate, the boundaries of the zones and try to determine whether they are still reflect the current times and needs of the community. So, within that, the surrounding area, there's a number of other, Cook Financial is located across the street, being a commercial business. But some of the other uses in the surrounding properties are the Trinity Anglican Church, the Rosignol Cultural Center is across the street, and the Liverpool Curling Club is to the immediate north of the property. So the area itself is a fairly high traffic area. Gorham Street sees a considerable amount of traffic, so the proposed use of the property, when we looked at that, we felt the proposed use had probably minimal impact on additional traffic for the area. Where the property is zoned as institutional, it's also designated as institutional on the generalized future land use map. So a proposed rezoning of this would also require amendments to the generalized future land use map as well. So that would be done at the same time as amendments to the zoning map. So the Planning Advisory Committee met last week and discussed the application, and it was the decision of the Planning Advisory Committee to support the recommendation to move forward with this rezoning.
Any questions or comments from councilors?
Councilor Kennedy. Yes, Mike, I noticed this, on the Lions property is two different pieces, so it must be, they would have to migrate that, right, to bring it together. It must be probably two different lots?
No, it's all one lot.
Okay, because it says parcel A and then lot A, 1A. So it looks like there's a separation between the two lots. So that probably could have done the deed as one. It
should all be one parcel of land. And it obviously in a land transaction as far as migration, I guess you're talking subdivision. But it's to my knowledge, it's all one parcel of land. It always has been. So, but they would obviously have to migrate the property as part of the sale if it's not already migrated into the land registry system. So.
Just it looks like it's separated there, that last part on the bottom down towards the rural town.
No, I know. Several years ago, they actually acquired a piece of land from the curling club, but that was consolidated with their existing parcel. So perhaps that's what you're thinking. Then. Yeah, so it's all one parcel. Yeah, and I guess on the back page of that's you're looking at the dashed line, Councillor. That's actually the plan that was done to consolidate a piece from the curling club. So.
Councilor Pelley?
I just have a question, Mike. Could you elaborate a little bit more? Because I know once this is rezoned, and if that particular business decides to sell, what's preventing the commerce? What's being done to present the option of turning it into a garage or something else?
Yeah, and I guess that was a considerable part of Planning Advisory Committee's discussion last week. Because that's obviously, when you change the zoning, it opens up all the uses that are permitted within the C1 zone. So, so what we are looking at doing as part of our review of the Planning Strategy and Land Use Bylaw is looking at obviously the boundaries of the commercial core area. But also looking at potentially incorporating a transitional zone under the new bylaw, whereby you can consider a specific list of uses, but not to the full extent of the C1 zone. So would it be a smaller list of uses that you would consider within the peripheries of the commercial area, but not open it up to the entire list. So that's something that we are definitely looking at under the planning review, which we're anticipating will be the end of this year, or the early 2020, to have that in place. So I think it's an area that we recognize that there is potential or there is possible risk in that, but I think we can mitigate that in the very near future through the revised Planning Strategy and Land Use Bylaw.
So, and to follow up to that, I'm just going to ask the question. So we had in the past the Hemmings building.
That's right.
Had Hank's Variety, where they've switched back to, especially for Hemmings, from commercial back to residential.
Yeah.
Is it always that process? Is there any way around that moving forward, that if it converts back to a residential, would they still have to always go through the process? I mean, that's mandated.
Yeah, because I guess when you amend the bylaw or you establish a zoning boundary, that is what it is, and it's the Planning Strategy and Land Use Bylaw are legally binding documents until amendments are made or formal amendments are made, and the process is legislated through the Municipal Government Act is what we have to do to accommodate those. So, unfortunately, you try to anticipate what may come down the pipe in the future and allow for particular uses, but I guess there are going to be situations where if changes can't be accommodated or uses can't be accommodated, that an amendment is required. So
it just seems like if you're changing, especially for the Lions Hall, if you're changing that and making certain accommodations for the future, it seems like it would be easier to say if it changes hands again, it would revert back to the original.
Yeah, and we just don't have that. I know there's certain things you can do with deeds and things, but zoning is what it is, and when you establish that zone.
They should look at.
On that same token, Councilor Crowley, there's a cause or a situation if you sell a piece of land to a municipality, you sell them, and there's a buyback clause. If not, something isn't done with that, then you can buy. Is there anything similar, like?
No, and that's what I say, that's in legal transactions, that's a condition of sale or a term of sale of property.
Yeah.
But where we establish zones, no.
Is it very often that someone had, we had changed a zone, and it happened with the one on Old Port Regional Kazan Street, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's that same situation.
Yeah, yeah, no, and that's something that I guess I can't think of a time where we've rezoned it and then several years later rezoned it back, but the possibility's there. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, that was the process that had to happen. To have that, to meet that use. So.
So we're governed by provincial planning?
The Municipal Government Act sets out the process.
Okay. Yeah. Now, the Municipal Government Act was being reviewed, and maybe Chris might be able to help us with this. It's been reviewed, so is that a done deal with the Municipal Government Act now, or is it an ongoing review of things that the province might change?
Probably changes it every year.
Okay.
There's always amendments to it, but I think what we're talking about here is very sacred for public input and public consultation, because once you adjust the land use for somebody, for your neighbor,
mm-hmm.
that could be there for the next 100 years, and so this process has been established and well used for 100 years, 150 years, to make sure that before that happens,
mm-hmm.
that the people in that neighborhood have the opportunity to have their say as to whether that's going to negatively impact them or not. So while the Municipal Government Act does change every year, there are slight amendments to it. I think this would be a sacred area where the province would never want to go there. Because you can't pick and choose and say, well, we'll allow this municipality or this particular development to change back,
mm-hmm.
And not
yeah.
other ones. Because then it gets really...
It gets complicated.
Exactly. And so if something... So something gets changed now, it's rezoned, and if you were to say it's automatically rezoned back, putting it back to what it was originally may not be acceptable to the community because it may not have been a good use in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And so that causes more grievance. So once you do it for one, though, it applies to everybody.
I see.
And so it makes it very dangerous. So that's why this process is put in place, to make sure, although it does take 2 or 3 months to go through this process typically, it's felt that it's a wise use of 2 or 3 months to make sure everybody is comfortable, or at least as comfortable as possible, has input into it before those changes.
Councilor Ford, did you have another question?
No.
No? Okay. Well, I think Mike touched on it as well, and as chair of PAC, establishing in the municipal planning strategy review an expansion zone around our downtown Liverpool commercial area would mean that we can put in place rules for another zone that would take effect if that if that property was ever sold again, that it would not be C1. It would be whatever the expansion zone would be. So as long as it's a flower shop, it can stay a flower shop, or if it's sold to someone else, to keep the flower shop. But once the flower shop, once it ceases, it's just, I think, for 6 months or something like that, then it would revert back to whatever we decide the expansion zone would be and whatever those rules are around that. So although there's, like you mentioned, there's a slight risk between now and when the municipal planning strategy is and bylaws are in effect early next year, talking to the proposed owners and the sellers that were here at PAC meeting, it seems like this is pretty much a done deal. As soon as it's all agreed to go through and finalized. So any other questions, comments? So I guess we're at the question. Yes, question. All in favor? Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Mike. Reports. 14.1 Council Implementation Report, January to, actually this is up until August of 2019. It's been updated. Is there any questions or comments from councilors on the Implementation Report? Councilor Sully?
I just see on July 23rd, the no left turn into angle parking was installed. And but I haven't seen anything about, well, I guess I have, to the RCMP requesting to enforce that. But I thought part of that whole conversation was the part to have them actually enforce the whole area, not just that one sign. So I've seen a couple posts where they have fined a certain individual for returning in there. But as part of that motion for everything that happens in that corner, the RCMP were supposed to be notified that we need much better enforcement over crosswalks and stepping into crosswalks and cars and all that. Could you just elaborate on that a little bit?
All I know is the mayor did send the email or letter to the RCMP requesting more overview of that intersection, maybe with regards to the illegal turning at the post office. I personally did see the two RCMP officers sitting at the tables in front of Five Girls Baking. Maybe that was part of their maybe it was part of their review of the area.
Oh, it could have been much.
But I'm not aware of any report back from the RCMP advising what they've done to date, are you?
No, and it's an ongoing process. So initially the issue was we wanted them to enforce the no left turn into the angle parking, which they're starting to do. And we'll be ongoing discussions with them about further enforcement and stuff. And so they're generally trying to get a feel for the area, I think, what the issues are going to be, and then I would expect we'll see more enforcement begin probably.
Okay, so I would like to be copied in, or we should be copied in on that when the letter goes to the RCMP, just so that we know that it's been completed.
Okay. It may not be a letter, it'll be a personal meeting, I would suggest. So.
Update would be great.
Sure.
Thank you.
Okay, so that's does anybody else have any, councilors have any questions about the implementation report? Councilor McLeod?
I see that the 2018 is included with the 2019. Is that just to bring us up to date on something?
This is the complete implementation report, the things that are still outstanding and ongoing.
Okay.
Stay
since January 1, 2018.
Yeah, stay there until they're complete.
Yeah, okay.
Oh.
So if there's no further questions, then we are now at the end of our regular council meeting, and I will ask for a motion to go in camera, please. Bill, go to Councilor Johnson. And second to that, please. Councilor McLeod, thank you very much. We are all those in favor. We are now in camera. Thank you. We'll take a 5-minute.